All right, my friends, that music tells us that it's time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, you take one of the psalms from the Book of Sung Praises, the Sefer Telachim in Hebrew, from the Wisdom Literature of the Old Testament, and we connect it to the daily Mass readings. And today, of course, is Friday of the fifth week of Lent, and today's psalm is Psalm 18. Of course, the first 41 psalms in Book 1 of the Psalms are all written by David. And this psalm is surrounded by two awesome readings. The first reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And today it says, you know, I hear the whisperings of many, Jeremiah says, terror on every side. Denounce, let us denounce him. All those who were my friends are on the watch for any misstep of mine. Now, very interesting. Obviously, Jeremiah here, I think, is clearly showing a parallel, an allegorical parallel to what's happening this coming week with Jesus. You know, first they laud him on Palm Sunday. They lay the palms at his feet as he rides into Jerusalem on a mule. And then what happens? Terror on every side. Denounce. Let us denounce him. All those who were my friends, right? So we have Judas, who will betray our Lord. We have the apostles who ran away and abandoned our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was arrested. You know, we see the Pharisees continually trying to find some charge to bring against Jesus. You know, so all of this was foreshadowed in the Old Testament prophets. We see that, I think, very clearly here with Jeremiah. And he continues, perhaps he will be trapped, then we can prevail and take our vengeance on him. Again, pointing toward what's going to be happening with Jesus this week. But I love this part. But the Lord is with me like a mighty champion. My persecutors will stumble. They will not triumph. You know, so this points to Jesus, that they put him to death and they thought, okay, this is going to be the end of it. But remember, death is not the end of the story, right? Jesus had to die in order to conquer death, to show that even the greatest effect of sin, which is death, cutting ourselves off from God's life, is not more powerful than God's love. So he said, like a mighty champion, he will be the champion over the forces of death. So my persecutors will stumble, they will not triumph. Obviously, not only the Pharisees, but also the power of the devil, the power of the evil one. You know, sin and death will not triumph over the power of God's merciful love. He goes, in their failure, they will be put to utter shame, to lasting, unforgettable confusion. You know, and that's the legacy that we carry forward today. You know, oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? Right? All of this foreshadowed by the prophet Jeremiah. And then in the gospel today, we're continuing our series of gospel readings from the Gospel of John. It said the Jews picked up rocks to stone Jesus. And Jesus said, "What? I've shown you many good works, miracles. Which of these are you stoning me for?" You know, he said, "We're not stoning you for your good work, but for blasphemy. You, a man, are making yourself God." So now we see ultimately why Jesus was put to death, because he called himself God. You know, again, some people will say that Jesus never said he was God. He never claimed to be God. But yet here we clearly see that the Pharisees are accusing him of calling himself God. Remember, he said, before Abraham was, I am. Right? He called himself the name that God revealed to Moses in the burning bush, which was the first time that God ever revealed his name. And so he reveals his name, calls himself the I am. That's why they pick up the rocks to stone him. And Jesus answered, is it not written the law that said you are gods, right? And what is he referring to here? He's referring to Psalm chapter 8, right? Which was written by David, which loosely translated says that you are gods. Again, small g, small g. If it calls them gods to whom the words of God came and the scriptures cannot be set aside, can you say that the one whom the Father has consecrated and sent to the world, which of course he's talking about himself, blasphemes because I said, I am the Son of God? Right? So he's trying to show them, reveal to them that he is the Son of God. So he's not blaspheming because he's, because he is God. So he's not blaspheming by calling himself God because he is actually the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. If I do not perform my Father's works, do not believe me. But if I perform them, even if you do not believe, believe the works, so that you may realize and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. So he's telling them and showing them by the, if you don't believe me, that's fine, but believe the works that I do. Because I am doing things that only God can do. So I am God. I am the revelation of God. That the Father is in me and I am in the Father, that we share the same divine nature. He's revealing this to them. He's letting them know that he is God. So often you hear they say, well, tell us plainly, and Jesus says, this is how you know that I am God, that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. And again, after he said this, hearing himself say that the Father is in me and I am in the Father, basically that I am God, they try to arrest him. But it says he escaped from their power. Why? It was not time yet for him to go through his passion. And so he eluded their grasp. But the time would come this week coming up, after Holy Thursday, where he will be given into their power, and they will arrest him, and they will put him on trial, and they will put him to death. But not now. The time is not now. And so he eludes their grasp. Why? He still has to institute the Eucharist at the Last Supper. He still has to institute the priesthood. He still has to fulfill the culmination of the blood sacrifice, the Zadok, and the non-bloody sacrifice, the Asa sacrifice, where he offered, like Melchizedek, the priest who forever is going to offer bread and wine. Right? He's going to offer bread and wine. And so the psalm that connects these two beautiful, and it's very true sense, prophetic readings is Psalm 18. And the refrain is, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he heard my voice. Right? We call upon the name of the Lord, and we don't hope in vain, because the Lord will hear our voice. And I love praying this psalm. And particularly the way that David starts off this psalm. I love you, Lord, my strength, my rock, my fortress, my savior. And here it's translated as deliverer, which is goel in Hebrew. That can mean deliverer, it can mean avenger, it could mean savior, deliver. It just depends on the context. But here, it's translated as deliverer, but the word is goel. And I just love the way David starts this song, this psalm, this song of praise. I love you, Lord, my strength. Oh, Lord, my rock, my fortress, my savior. Those are definitely words of comfort in the trials that we go through in life. We could draw strength from that.
For more on the Psalms with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.